floor.
Hello. My name is Paul Floyd. I'm here to talk to you about, as I said, Valgrind on Dragonfly, Net, and OpenBSD. I'm a Valgrind developer. I've worked mainly on FreeBSD, so I'm not going to talk about that much today. My talk is going to be in two parts. First of all, a brief overview of Valgrind. I only have 20 minutes, not 20 hours, so I can't go into details. Second part will be on Valgrind on the BSDs. Valgrind, it's mainly known as a tool for detecting memory faults for developers. It also has tools for thread hazard detection and profiling. So when Valgrind runs, what it's doing is taking a bunch of instructions from what we call the guest. That's the test execution. It converts that into intermediate representation, a bit like a compiler. It will instrument that, do some optimization, write it back to memory, and execute it. And this is the core of Valgrind. This is the scheduler. It's doing this all the time. That's also where it's slow. So in this scheduling a loop, there's also doing other things. So it has to handle how the end of these basic blocks occurs. It has to handle things like errors and system calls. That's really the core of Valgrind. Sounds easy. Just one process. So the guest and the host are both in memory, kept very separate, but not like GDB or LDB, where you have ptrace and two processes. A big thing here for developers is the tool is always statically linked. We don't link with libc. Okay. So I sometimes say it's C++, because there's no libc. We do that because we don't want to have any conflict between the tool using libc and the guest using libc. If you do a git check out of Valgrind, you'll get about 840,000 lines of code. So it's fairly big. About two-thirds of that is the code, and one-third is test cases. The big blue part here, VEX, is the synthetic CPU. And that covers all the platforms that Valgrind will run on. So it's pretty big. I'm only going to talk about AMD 64, because that's the only platform that the BSDs run on. FreeBSD also runs on x86 and ARM 64. Good news here is that for operating systems, the VEX code is very platform independent. Okay. I've worked on FreeBSD for 5 or 6 years. I've made one change to VEX for that. And that was for a kind of memory fault, which on Linux, it produces a segmentation fault. And on the BSDs, it's a SIGBUS. That's the only thing. Bad news for us in Valgrind developers, we don't have enough people for all the CPU features, so we struggle a lot to do everything there. That's our problem. The big red part here is CoreGrind. So this is all the core services that Valgrind has to provide. Like I said, no libc, so we have our libc replacement there. Then there's all the glue that we have to provide to make Valgrind look as though it's a real CPU and operating system. A nice thing here, if you're not familiar with it, is the GDB server, which allows you to connect GDB to an executable in Valgrind and debug it. It's all part of the CoreGrind. So this part is very, very platform dependent, extremely. Just for reference, about 15,000 lines of code for FreeBSD in that. Okay, so not huge, but fairly big. The small little bits of the pie chart, most of those are the tools. And as you can see, the tools are pretty small by comparison. Memcheck, the most well-known tool, about 3% of the source code. I'm not going to talk about much of the details about Valgrind running, just a couple of things that are important. And one of the most important things is to start the guest executable. Okay, so all this is happening in Valgrind. Valgrind is doing the loading, and it will run ld.so from within Valgrind. Here's an extract of a small hello world XE, that's the objump output on FreeBSD. And you can see the load, that's the pieces of the file that need to be loaded into memory to execute it. If you can't read the alpha information and load it, then run's just going to terminate. It's going to finish. Similar to that, there's also the symbol table. We need to read the alpha symbol table. If we can't read the alpha symbol table, then we can't do things like replace malloc or wrap the pthread functions. And lots of things won't work. When libraries are being loaded, Valgrind records all this. So in theory, Valgrind always has a perfect memory map of all everything that's in physical memory. When that doesn't work correctly, then we have problems and likely to be a crash or just bad results. And the last one here is dwarf the debug information. If we can't read that, no source information in our error messages, and it becomes almost useless. So two difficult things, signals and threads. For signals, when there's a signal handler, we have to make sure that the signal handler function doesn't run on its own on CPU. We have to hijack it and make sure it runs in Valgrind. Similarly for the sig return, that has to go back into Valgrind. It's the same thing for pthreads. We have to hijack the pthread to make sure it runs in Valgrind. For signals, normally when Valgrind is running, it's masking all signals to give it full control of when a signal gets delivered. An exception to that is when there's a blocking system call for the guest. Then we have to restore the guest signal mask, do the system call, return from the system call, and mask all signals again. There's lots of juggling of system calls going on during system calls. And it's very, very hard to get all this absolutely 100% correct. So for the BSDs, I've seen quite a few problems with this. I've talked about system calls. This is the biggest part of any platform for an OS. Okay, so we have to wrap every single system call. So those of you who are not familiar with system calls, FreeBSD has 500 or so, typically around in the 500 region. So it's a lot of code. Good news here, most of this is just boilerplate. This example from FreeBSD is the fstatat system call. So you can see the print macro. This is used for logging. So Valgrind has many, many logging and tracing facilities. So one of them is system calls. There are a few macros that we use for checking memory reads and writes. There's a macro there for checking the arguments to the system call. And there are a couple other things we do. There's tracking and checking file descriptors. And we have to do things like flag when there's a blocking system call. Most of the time it's easy, but some are quite difficult. So any system call involving threads, processes, and querying the CPU, that can be a lot more difficult. That was the code. Our tests. So, this is my main measure of quality for Valgrind, the regression tests. Built into the source, we have between 600 and 800, depending on the CPU, tests that are not OS specific. Okay. Linux and FreeBSD, they have about 100 tests each. And I put it in red here, right now, Dragonfly, Open, and NetBSD, zero tests, but just for them. So that means any feature that they have on just for that platform is untested. So not good for the quality. Okay, a few more things. We have some bigger tests, one based on the GNU Scientific Library and Linux only. Shame we don't have it in FreeBSD, LTP, the Linux Test Project. The last one there, we have a small performance test, which we don't run very often because we know that Valgrind is very slow. Valgrind developers and the Valgrind world. We aren't very many, six people all working sort of part-time on it, mostly at Red Hat. So there's a team working on GDB, binary tools like dwarf tools, elf tools, and things like that, and Valgrind. So we're just spending some of the time on Valgrind. At IBM, a couple of guys working on System 390 and PowerPC. And there's me. So I'm working in my spare time, mostly on the core Grind part and FreeBSD. So for platforms that are covered by the Valgrind world, most of our stuff is on Sourceware, website, Git, and our modern CI. Our modern CI uses Bilbot. Valgrind has been around for 23 years, so we have a lot of history. For historical reasons, our Bugzilla is on KDE, and SourceForge, if you remember that, still has our mailing lists. Valgrind developers, we can access the GCC server farm, and that's good for us because that gives us a variety of operating systems, CPUs, and there are a few BSD machines out there. Lastly, there's our old infra for CI, and that's just a script you can put in a cron tab, which checks if there's been a Git commit that day, checks out builds, and sends an email to one of our mailing lists. Okay, BSDs. All three I'm talking about, so Dragonfly, Net, and OpenBSD. The source code, when I've looked at it, was based on the FreeBSD fork, but all fairly old, okay, all from about 5 or 6 years ago. Dragonfly. So this screenshot of a guy called Dan, his GitHub site. He did some work in 2021. Hasn't been continued, I don't think, unfortunately. When I looked at that source code, it looked very, very similar to the state of the FreeBSD source code in Valgrind when I started working on it 5 or 6 years ago. Because Dragonfly is the closest historically to FreeBSD, it should be the easiest to fix and to take the things that I've done on FreeBSD and get to improve. NetBSD, so very hard to get the source code. The wiki refers to a defunct Berlioz website. I couldn't find the Subversion thing anywhere. Package source only refers to Linux. But what I'm going to talk about is I was contacted by some final year students at the Western Washington University who were working on a final year project to get NetBSD Valgrind working. Difficult for students for a project. They did a good job, but unfortunately, there were a few really serious small problems causing those things still to fail. It's a shame they didn't contact me at the end of their project to get a bit more help. I'm not going to talk about all the bugs and fixes I've done, just a couple. So here's one I haven't fixed yet. On NetBSD, this is for a PIE executable, position independent executable. And you can see on the bottom line there, Valgrind is complaining. It's trying to execute an instruction in read-write anonymous memory. That's totally wrong. That should be read-execute and file-mapped. So I don't know what the cause of this is. Non-PIE executables run okay. And PIE does work okay on FreeBSD and Linux. It's not a fundamental problem. So just one example of a little bug I fixed. So in the code, there's lots and lots of defines. It's very platform-dependent. There's these operating system, OS, and CPU defines. And this function, recording the startup directory, was missing the NetBSD define. So the function had a null pointer for the startup directory, which meant that when things like log files or results files were opened at the end of the execution, it would fail. So lots of things were failing because of this one small error. OpenBSD, this is the elephant in the room. This is the pin syscalls feature. So this was added in 7.5. This is a feature that is intended to limit system calls to ld.so and libc. This is bad news for Valgrind because we need to make direct system calls. I've been talking about system calls quite a lot already. One solution would have been to do like Perl and to use a dispatcher. That's a bit of a non-starter. Not all libc functions have wrap a system call, so not everything is there. But also the biggest problem is you have to get libc loaded. And on FreeBSD, there are about 1,800 system calls even before libc gets loaded. So not possible. The only thing I can see for OpenBSD would be to implement a pin syscalls table in Valgrind. So this is well beyond my abilities with OpenBSD. Here's an example from a blog site I saw using just two system calls. So all the testing I've done on OpenBSD was with 7.4. So that's before pin syscalls was fully implemented. OK, now I'm getting on to the important things. OK, pay attention. For comparison, FreeBSD and Illumos. So this is showing what is the current version, before I started at least, whether it's in upstream or not, whether it's out of tree, whether you have a binary package or not, and the quality of the regression tests. So FreeBSD and Illumos, upsource, package is available, and virtually all the regression tests work. Dragonfly, I saw there was an attempt to get the binary package working, but that fizzled out for some reason. About two-thirds of the test cases were passing. So what I've done is I've rebased the code, fixed a few things, and I'm getting about 78% of the test cases passing. NetBSD, like I said, the students, they had a few small problems causing lots of errors. I fixed those, rebased, and now I'm getting about two-thirds of the test cases passing. So that's not brilliant, but it's good. OpenBSD, so lots more problems there. I haven't rebased that code. I don't think anyone had ever run the regression tests because some of the components hadn't been ported to OpenBSD. I fixed those, and I was only getting about 20% passes. I fixed a few things, and I'm now getting about 40%. So that's if one thing you remember here, it's the two-thirds of NetBSD test passing. Those figures are a bit on the pessimistic side. The regression tests have lots and lots of comparisons with call stacks, which require a lot of filtering to get, say, a FreeBSD call stack to look like a Linux call stack. And I haven't done that work for these platforms. So the real picture is a bit better. So for all the work I've done trying to fix a few things and update things, I've created a GitHub repo. There's a FOSDEM 26 branch for each of those. Another big question, where next? There's too much there for me to do all by myself to get them all to be working fully. I need help from these communities. I need people to get in touch with me to carry on the work. So I can help, I can advise. But like I said, I already spend a lot of time on general Valgrind and FreeBSD and Illumos. I'm adding three more. I also do some work on macOS as well. It's just too much. So I need help. If you want to have Valgrind working well on these platforms, get in touch with me. We're old school. If you want to get in touch, mailing lists and IRC. We also have some very open source people as well who don't like particularly things like Discord and things like that. So, okay, a few more resources very quickly. I gave a talk 4 years ago during COVID. I printed up, these are all just very general things. The last resource here at YouTube, there was a talk given by, I'm going to butcher his name, Masao Yuibashi, at EuroBSDCon about 12 years ago. I can recommend that. It was a one-hour talk, so it was more technical and goes into a lot more detail. And lastly, our website and our readme, the readmes in our Git source code that are useful. So, thank you for listening.